Lord's Prayer, and then the Pledge of Allegiance. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, Bill, I told her, told Brad to leave you home.
No, we don't need you.
We're nice to you, Bill. Don't worry. We'll cut you
back first week of January.
We have a fairly busy day and evening, to say the least.
Let's go.
Gentlemen, we have the agenda. Dave, I know there's amendment. Gentlemen, turn. Yeah.
Yes, we have. I'd like to suggest that we delete number 3 under myself, wastewater service agreement, because we're not ready at this time. And then under 4:30 p.m., it has dinner at Sussex Pines Country Club. That's dinner at the airport.
Okay. And you can delete minutes, and you can delete introductions.
Can you delete what else?
Introduction of proposed ordinances.
We'll be out of race. We'll be here long.
Hey, we'll be adjourned today.
We moved it up an extra hour then.
We're not going to have a public hearing this afternoon, so you guys don't have to worry.
Mr. President, make a motion. We approve the agenda as amended with the deletions for Sussex County Council December 9, 2008. For the deletion of the approval minutes, wastewater treatment service agreement under administrator's report, and also introduction of ordinances.
Could I second for the purpose of asking a legal question? If we find that we've got some extra time this afternoon, is it possible to consider bringing forward some of the old business from this evening's agenda and modifying at that time?
Yeah, you could just vote to amend the agenda at that time, as long as it's old business and not a public hearing item.
Okay.
I was a little concerned that as I changed the meeting from 2:00 to 1:00, because I was a little concerned with everything that was going on, in case we do get involved, because one of the issues could have been debated that got deleted.
Right.
Okay, that's cool. Okie dokie, correspondence. I'm sorry. We got to have a discussion. I apologize. Thank you, Mr. Rogers. You paid attention. I was fine. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Yes.
We have a few items of correspondence. First, a letter from the Sussex County Farm Bureau Board of Directors. The Sussex County Farm Bureau, wish to inform Sussex County Council we are in full support of your decision to file a lawsuit against DENREC concerning the pollution control strategies. Letter from Delaware Hospice. Thanking council for a gift of $375 to support the 2008 Delaware Hospice Festival of Trees. A letter, copy of this letter was to Senator Nancy Cook and Representative Bill Oberle from Bob Weiner, a Newcastle County councilman, but it was copied to Mr. Dukes. I hope you will consider supporting the Delaware Association of Counties position concerning paramedic state funding in fiscal year 2010, given the economic condition of our county. Next, a card from Dale Dukes to all county employees. I find it hard to express how grateful I am for all your work. In honor of my retirement, I will not mention names because I will forget some. But the retirement evening was wonderful. Leaving the long-lasting relationships is very difficult as the time gets closer. I truly will miss all, but we were a team and we won because we worked together. Keep up the good work because we live in a great county And I am proud of Sussex County. Have a great holiday, and may God bless. Merry Christmas, Dale Dukes. It's all the correspondence.
Any other correspondence from any other council? Being none. Dave, I'll turn it over to you, just for blue water.
Yes, the first item tonight, this afternoon, is the Blue Water Wind presentation. And with us today, we have Mr. Rob Probst, who is going to set up a PowerPoint and give us a little update on where his project, or where their project is, and
I'm going to tell Richard. That's Richard's wife.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
I want to just thank David for the invitation and the council members' permission to allow me the time this afternoon. I'll be brief and allow a few minutes at least for some questions you might have. I thought it might be helpful. I was at the council well over a year ago when we were through the throes of trying to negotiate an agreement with Delmarva Power, and I shared some information with the council then. And now I find myself back here again under different circumstances and moving forward. And I just wanted to share some information with you based on where we are today and some of the next steps ahead of us. So just to wind things back a little bit, this past summer, in July, an organization called the Minerals and Management Service, which is a federal agency within the Department of Interior, they issued draft rules and an environmental assessment for locating offshore wind energy facilities in the federal waters. And that was an important step. Those draft rules are expected to be finalized this month, and we're hopeful that they will be. And on July 16th, another important day where Maryland Governor O'Malley announced at a large convention in Ocean City his state's interest in procuring energy from the Delaware Project. And we're currently working with Maryland, and we hope that a request for proposals will be coming out within the next few months, where we could sell them some energy from the Delaware Project. And then on July 31st, a great day for us, and we believe a lot of Delawareans that work so tirelessly to on our behalf to support the project, we received approval for the contract with Delmarva Power. So now we've entered what I'll call the permitting phase, where we've started to work with state and federal agencies on the permitting process. And at the federal level, we started some studies, some avian studies, but we can't do a tremendous amount there until the Minerals and Management Service finalizes its guidelines. But we've already started to interact with DENREC on some various issues. And we continue to identify some buyers, for large buyers, that is, that might be interested in procuring additional energy and renewable energy credits from the project. So just a quick overview of the Delaware project. We're talking about a project that is somewhere between 230 and 450 megawatts in size. That would be a maximum of about 150 turbines. We'll ultimately determine the size once we understand the full range of buyers that will be purchasing our energy. The closest turbine, 13 highway miles east of Rehoboth. We would connect our transmission cable, bring the energy ashore somewhere in the Bethany area, and we would actually connect electrically to the Indian River substation. We anticipate a construction start date optimally at the end of 2011, first quarter of 2012, best case scenario. And depending on the size of the project, we could actually complete it in 1 year if it's a smaller project, or 2 years if it's a larger project. This is just a map. I'll give you a sense of the two kind of fields, if you will, where the turbines would be located. And the white lines that you see extending out to those blue fields, those aren't electrical lines. That's just a measurement distance to the closest shore points. This gives you a sense of the kind of the different phases. You've got your pre-construction, which we're in now, consists of a lot of studies that we're doing, geotechnical investigations, understanding how the birds use the area, understanding the wind resource, and then you have the construction phase and then the post-construction, and I'll quickly walk through each of these. I'm not going to go through all these. I just wanted to give you a sense of all the different federal and state approvals that we're going to have to go through over the next 2 to 3 years. This is just, again, a schedule of kind of where we anticipate the time frame will be for putting this park together. And as you can see, beginning construction in probably December 2011 or early 2012. So as I say, the pre-construction, what we're talking about there is a lot of permanent studies, the avian studies, which I mentioned we've already begun. We'll have to do some marine biological studies, understanding the mammals, the finfish, turtles, et cetera, understanding the benthic and fisheries habitat out there, some water quality studies, cultural surveys, as well as the navigation and FAA studies. So that'll be consuming the majority of our time and resources over the next couple of years. All of this essentially culminates into an environmental impact statement running hundreds of pages in length that we'll have to submit to the federal agencies. We'll do some geotechnical investigations, which consists of taking borings off the coast probably this summer, and some additional geophysical investigations, towing like sonars and things like that to understand the sub-bottom profile. This is all for our engineering purposes so that we understand what kind of seabed that we have to go into and how stable the foundations are. We anticipate getting approval from that Minerals and Management Service to site a meteorological tower, and we anticipate approval in probably the early spring of 2009, and we'll immediately commence construction activities of that tower, and that's to give us the wind resource and maybe even some monitors on currents and waves out there, and that'll need to be in place for a couple of years so that we can understand what the wind regime is. Here's an example of some of the different tower styles of a meteorological tower. This just articulates more fully what I just said, that we applied to MMS for the Met Tower, and we anticipate getting approval in the first quarter of 2009. The other big component to construction of wind park takes place on land, which is an example of a staging area in Europe. Essentially, all the finished components come from around the world to a port like this here, and it's used as a laydown area. There's welding that occurs, electrical connections that are made, bolting. There's no manufacturing per se, really just assembly. And once these things get assembled, either nearly fully or some partial assembly, they get loaded onto a special vessel barge that takes them out to the site and puts them in place. And we're currently looking at a few different places along the Delaware coast to do this activity. Just some pictures of the construction phase. What you see here is putting in the below-the-water foundations. This is just tubes of steel that are pounded into the subsurface about 90 feet. And that middle picture is essentially a large hammer. It doesn't actually lift off of the tube and pound down. That would damage the steel. It vibrates at hundreds of times per minute to get it to go into the sand. Example of an installation vessel. Example of a vessel that's putting the submarine cable, which is basically trenched 6 feet under the ocean floor. This is one of our transformers that would go out into the site. Pretty cool. And then the other significant piece from an economic development standpoint, and this will absolutely be located in Sussex County, is an operation and maintenance port. And we have a couple of areas that we're looking at under investigation. But this is the facility that will house people that will monitor the performance of the wind park, will be launched, dispatched on a daily basis to do preventative maintenance, and we'll probably have anywhere between 40 to 60 people at this facility and four large crew boats that will go out to the facility on a regular basis, and it'll be a 24/7 operation. And there'll also be training provided at this facility for workers, and we even anticipate it really serving almost as a visitor center, not only for anywhere from school kids in the state to international visitors who come to take a look at the wind park and understand its operation. Just an example of a vessel going up, a maintenance vessel going up to the base of a turbine. And then finally, at the very end of the life, 25 years after this thing is constructed, it's decommissioned. And right now, the guidance from the Minerals and Management Service says either we have to take the foundations completely out, which means cutting it off a few feet below the sand, or if there's some significant environmental benefit from the artificial reef that's created over time, to leave some portion that's safe enough for navigation above the mud line in place, which continues to be a great fishing habitat. That's all. Thank you. Any questions?
Why must it be decommissioned?
That's what we anticipate the useful life of the wind park would be, probably about 20 to 25 years. At that point, you're probably going to get into higher and higher maintenance costs, which, you know, the economics probably wouldn't make sense to continue to operate it.
Replacing components doesn't make sense at that point?
It doesn't. It seems like you could just simply replace the turbine on top of the tower, because the towers certainly have a much longer life than 25 years. But I asked an engineer that question myself. The towers are designed specifically for the turbine, the weight of the turbines, the weight of the blades, and to swap it out, I'm just trying to think of another analogy, might be akin to, you know, putting bicycle tires on your car. It has to be exactly the same kind of equipment because of the stresses of the tower. So that was the rationale. And I think the other thing, who knows, 25 years from now, the technology could be such where, you know, it just doesn't make sense to continue operating these. You might want to have fewer but larger turbines. So maybe it's a 5-megawatt turbine instead of a 3-megawatt turbine, but you have fewer towers. So that's another scenario.
And who will still continue to own these? You guys?
We will. Mm-hmm.
So if your company, something happened to this company, how they buy and sell, next thing you know, somebody wants to...
Well, I mean, if we're bought by somebody else, then they would own this asset.
Could we be stuck with a bunch of skeletons out there of these turbines that maybe...
No, because part of what we'll have to do before we start construction is put up a bond for the full removal of this wind park.
Okay.
Governor-elect Markell mentioned just the other day that your parent company has been delisted from the Australian stock market. Is that true?
No, that's not accurate. It hasn't been delisted. Like a lot of companies right now that are in the financial marketplace, we haven't been immune to the downturns. Our stock has got beaten up just like a lot of other companies out there. And, you know, we just had
You're not getting bailed out?
We're not getting a bailout. We're actually traded on the Australian Stock Exchange. There's no talk of a bailout. We are selling some of our assets around Europe, but the North American wind projects, of which there's 20 of them currently owned by Babcock and Brown, and five more that'll probably be opened up before the end of the year, are really the crown jewel of the infrastructure group of Babcock and Brown. So just the other day, in fact, I think it was in Saturday's paper, the head of North America for Babcock and Brown committed to say that, you know, this project will be built. This is a core asset. We have a financeable contract in place. And so this project will be moving forward.
Is there a price per barrel that a company like yours for barrel oil looks at that says as long as oil is trading at $60 a barrel or more, our product is competitive in the marketplace?
Yeah, that's a great question. I imagine there probably are some folks. I'm not one of those, some of the finance people that looks at that, because offshore or onshore? That would be a good question. You know, what are the energy markets doing? And certainly that is tied to oil and natural gas as well. Not so much in the short term, you know, where oil is fluctuating $10 or $15 a barrel from one week to the next, but I think they have to take probably at least a 3 to 5 year view of what the energy markets are going to do, because I don't know about you, but my the city of Newark doesn't lower my rates for electricity when the price of barrel has gone down significantly. But so there's quite a lag, and so you know, I'm sure they do keep a close watch on the future outlook of energy markets. And the last time I checked, the U.S. Energy Administration had you know, energy prices continuing to rise, if not maybe a little bit more modestly, but nevertheless, that these very short term dips will not remain constant.
So, as George said, at 25 years, I know you're bonded, but you just—I mean, if it does it, are you rebuilding? Or I know you can't plan the future, but I mean, or you just go away, you pack your stuff up and go home?
Yeah, I don't know what the market, you know, what the energy market will hold in 25 years. What kind of technology will be out there? We'll continue to be in the wind business as long as it's viable.
I'll still be here. I'm going to monitor.
I got binoculars on the beach.
I'll still be here.
Oh, okay.
I think in this country, and really even around the world, we're just really on the cusp, especially in this country, of the wind energy industry. And there's been some pretty aggressive development land-based around the world, particularly in this country. The last few years have seen record numbers of wind energy installations. I see that trend continuing. Will it continue 25 years? Who knows?
Someday solar panels will build.
We're still a small percentage of the total energy makeup in the country, and there's a lot more room for growth.
Because, we're footing the DP&L. I mean, we're footing the bill with DP&L providers. And it's kind of strange that at 25 years you just walk and say, okay, you know, I mean, you could. The investment as far as the public is concerned.
Well, the DP&L customers are really only, they're only consuming or paying for this project in the respect that for whatever energy they use, they're not sort of fronting us up with money in the beginning. It's whatever their energy usage is that contributes to the revenues of DP&L, which then go to pay for the energy that they buy from us. So there's no, Blue Water Wind has to find all the money up front to build this project. There's not one nickel, of state dollars or public taxpayer money here.
How much is your estimated cost? Can you say?
On the smaller project, probably around $800 million. On a larger project, it could be up to about $1.5
billion. Certainly it's cheaper to build on land than it is.
Yes, it absolutely is cheaper.
How much does it cost? Like a huge amount of difference? I mean,
it could be as much as 50% more to build off the coast, but the difference is, you might say, well, gee, that doesn't make any sense to build offshore, but when you go offshore, the wind resource is so much more consistent and stronger that you end up producing much more energy than you would in a comparable size land-based facility, and that's what makes up the cost difference.
Okay. If you expand the plan for additional to add to your wind power farm for Maryland or New Jersey, do you anticipate additional employees, and would you anticipate them being located here?
Yeah, the larger the project, the more the employees. If we were to build, it doesn't look likely that we'll sell energy to New Jersey, because New Jersey, the governor has announced some pretty aggressive plans of their own for offshore wind development. They actually want 1,000 megawatts off their shore by 2013, and it's going to take more than a couple of developers to get that done. With respect to Maryland, we believe there'll be an RFP coming out in the next few months, which will solicit some energy for their state facilities. We could supply maybe as much as 100, 130 megawatts from this project to Maryland. But we also believe that Maryland, in the not-too-distant future, will be looking for their own offshore wind park as well. And we've already made a commitment to Delaware that any projects that are built in New Jersey or Maryland by us will be staged out of Delaware.
Any other questions, Jim?
Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
You. George, you'll be watching, right? Keep eye on it.
We'll monitor.
Okay, cool.
I'll be able to see it, maybe, on a good, clear day. Just barely.
We'll just give them a few moments, and then we'll move to you, Dave.